Hey everybody, welcome back to the Rust is Gold Racing Podcast. This is Phoenix. I'm back here with Hollywood and Sparky. We've been gone for a little while. We haven't had a podcast in a month, but we were kind of tied up with the holidays and building some bikes and some events, and we had the screening of Caffeine and Gasoline, Evolution of the American Rocker, the documentary I've been working on for the last 4 years. We had a little private screening for cast and crew and getting ready to put that out to the world. So I was kind of tied up doing some editing for the last month and a half. But we're back. We've got several podcasts that we've recorded over the last month, and we're excited to put those out there for you all to hear. We're picking it back up here with part two of our BMW demo day ride that we did with Sandy at BMW, and we're gonna kind of cover some of the bikes that we rode and let you guys know what we think about it, and we're looking forward to talking about it.
Down the way, not too far, an old-time rockabilly coffee bar, wrecking machine tucked in the back, Elvis singing about a Cadillac. I'm on a BSA, been riding all day, leathers on, goggles too, triumphing and knowing what you want to do. My boys are on Ducatis, happen now all the while, yeah, these are rockers, it's their style.
So let's ride, so let's ride.
Hey, so we spent the day today riding some BMWs with Chris Bronstorp, which was a lot of fun.
That was awesome, man.
Man, it was cold.
Yeah, it was a cold morning, for sure. I'm glad I had my full face, my Simpson.
Yep.
Yeah. You had your full face, Steve. You had your full face.
I had a full face, but it was the built well gringo, and I just had your goggles on, and it was kind of cold, man. Yeah. I wish I'd have brought like a full face helmet.
You know?
But yeah, it was fun. I was impressed by how many people showed up.
Right.
They had a really good turnout there.
They did, and you know, that was one of the things that kind of surprised me. And I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but I think it's interesting when we go to these different dealerships, the crowd that you get. Mm-hmm. And I almost want to say, like, it's kind of distinguished, right? You mm-hmm. know, you go to the Harley dealership and you know what kind of crowd you're going to get there.
Yeah.
We went to the Triumph dealership and it's a pretty mixed crowd. When we went to the BMW dealership, it felt like there was a certain generation of guys there, a little bit older generation of guys.
Definitely.
Guys that had some money. A lot of adventure guys came out.
Lots of adventure
guys. I mean, I would
guys.
Say probably 95% of the people, the men that came out there, were on adventure bikes.
Yeah. There was more women there than I've seen at the other dealership.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't
demo
know that,
rides,
too.
Right? Huh. And but it's the same type of rider. You know,
right.
It was the adventure rider, which is cool. But they do it kind of cool, you know. They had food. Yeah. You provided coffee, which is awesome.
Right.
You know, some Rust's Gold coffee there.
You should have brought more because everyone kept pumping the empty thing, and walking away
cold.
Real dejected.
Yeah, it was freezing. We probably could have brought like 5 pitchers of coffee.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
But you know, they do it right. Mm-hmm. BMW spends like some good coin mm-hmm. doing those demo days, and yeah. I was impressed by that. I really was.
Barbecue, right?
They had barbecue. They had Dickie's
food,
barbecue.
Cool.
You know, breakfast burritos.
Yeah, and you know, actually, after riding that, barbecue was welcome.
Yeah, yeah.
I was hungry afterwards.
It was so cold. Was they had cold. A little fake fireplace in there that we got to sit around. It was like we were doing an adventure in the city,
yeah.
coming back and getting barbecue in a fireplace.
It was
right?
fun. You know, we cool. got to do more of those. I really want to do more
of
those.
And Chris is a cool dude. Man.
Chris Bronstorp, man. I mean, he rode with us, which was cool. And I think he rode with us not because he felt like he had to. I think he wanted to.
Yeah,
definitely.
Know?
Yeah. I mean, what a cool job.
Definitely.
To work at a dealership and test ride demo bikes, and I mean, it was cool.
Oh, yeah.
But, and he's a big adventure guy. I mean, yeah. I had no idea. That was, I knew they did the classes, but I had no idea that they do like a secondary class and an expert class where they take people out and show them how to camp on their bikes and stuff like that. That's really cool.
That's pretty cool. If I could afford that, I would totally do it.
Yeah.
Well, you're a BMW guy, Steve.
Yeah, exactly. I know, but I'm a vintage
you're
BMW
that,
guy.
You're not that
I'm not
BMW.
That kind of, you know, I can't afford to buy that, you know, that R9T,
right.
you know, at least not brand new, like we were looking at and what we rode.
Right.
But, you know, I rode the F850 GS, mm-hmm. which is a dual sport adventure bike. It was cool, man. I mean, I'm not an adventure, you know, dual sport bike rider like that. You know, obviously we like cafe racers, but it was it was a nice bike, and I understand why people who are into that bike love that bike.
Yeah.
You know, BMW is probably, wouldn't you say, like, they kind of have the market sort of cornered on that bike style, that style of bike?
No, no, because Triumph has their Tiger.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess Tiger's.
And Honda has what, that?
The Africa Twin.
Yeah. But I mean, I think what Chris was kind of alluding to is, I think right now they're at the peak, right?
Definitely.
They're kind of at the top of their game when it comes to adventure biking.
Yeah. It was a great bike. I mean, you, Tyson and I laughed about this because Tyson, when he rode, it was just like, oh God, it's like not even riding.
Okay.
Like, well, yeah, it wasn't. So.
Well, okay. So just to be fair, I am not an adventure bike guy. And no offense to all of our listeners out there that are love adventure biking. I see the appeal. But it's a tall bike. I'm 5'9". Poor Franco over here is like 5'2".
Yeah, so there's a whole reason why we picked the 800 to start on.
Yeah.
I think the other one was a 1200, and I don't know the model, but it was a 1200, I think. A real, real big bike. I pulled something trying to get on that bike, and I couldn't touch the ground. So
yeah.
That's why I said, no, guys, I would like to ride this one, but I can't. Yeah. We got to test ride the
other. I'm 5'11", and I was having a hard time on that bike. It's too tall.
Well, right. And yeah, that, on that 800, even you look at all the pictures Sarah took, and my toes are, I'm always on my toes on it. I'm never touching the ground. It's hilarious.
Great bike, though.
Yeah.
Just from the standpoint of the bike itself.
And you know what? I hated those things. Every time I see them, like, I love the idea of moto camping. I love taking enduros and going out with dirt bikes. But those big BMW adventure bikes, they just didn't look right to me. I never really liked them.
Well, for me personally, I mean, and I think Steve will probably talk a little bit about the style and the look and the performance of the bike. But for me personally, I don't like a big bike. I don't like a tall bike. For me personally, 1200 cc and below with a nice low profile is what I feel comfortable on.
Mm-hmm.
Again, those pictures that Sarah took of us, I was tiptoeing.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, once you're in the cruise mode and we got on the freeway, I felt okay because you're on a cruise mode. It's like cruising a couch.
Yeah.
Right? But when we had to stop and make turns and corners and stuff like that, I just didn't feel, I was out of my element, honestly.
Yeah. That's what's great about doing these things, though, right? It's because, like, for us, you know, who grew up on dirt bikes and building bikes because, you know, that's what we could afford, you know, getting vintage bikes and either doing sports bikes at one point. I mean, you had a
GSXR.
Yeah. And did you ever have a sports bike?
No, I never had a sports bike. I've ridden a few, but I've never liked them.
You know, it's the position that you're in when you're riding, you know, is what we've kind of grown up on.
Right.
So to go to an adventure bike or dual sport off-road bike, you know, it's a little bit different. But I can see the appeal, I guess. You know, I understand it when I rode it. It's a comfortable bike. It practically rides itself.
It does.
It's got heated grips.
I did like those.
Balanced perfectly. You know, I mean, I was at the stoplight and I had my feet up on the pegs almost the whole time because it's so perfectly balanced, you know. And the acceleration's great. It's got five different modes, you know, for, you know, off-road, for the road, you know, the amount
traction control.
Right. It's got the screen, Chris, that and I were talking about, touch screen.
Yeah, that thing had more screens and technology than my truck has.
I know.
It was only 10 years old, 11 years old, but that thing, while I was riding, I didn't even bother looking at anything but the speedometer. I was not used to that much information in front of me.
It's true.
It was like you're in a cockpit of a plane.
Yeah.
It had that little, like, digital screen in front of you that gave you, it was a GPS screen.
It was a GPS.
And it had what bank to go to, what Starbucks to go to, what gas station to go to.
Oh, yeah. That's not an exaggeration.
Yeah, seriously.
It really was cool, don't get me wrong, but I never looked at it the entire time I was riding it.
Yeah.
Well, I just couldn't.
It seems like a distraction. And for me personally, that likes a slim down bike, it just seems like one more thing that could possibly go wrong.
See, and if you're commuting every day an hour to work, or if that was your thing to ride cross country or ride long distance constantly, that's a perfect bike. Don't get me wrong. If I was doing that, I'd jump on one in a second. I was really comfortable like that. It was like you said, you didn't have to put your feet down at the stop sign. It was really comfortable riding. Mm-hmm. You almost didn't feel like you're riding. No, but at the same time, you almost don't feel like you're riding.
The bike ride itself.
And I think that was Tyson's complaint, right? It didn't feel like you were riding.
I mean, I have a lot more complaints about dual sports, but yeah, I want to fuel my bike. You know, I don't know. I have a preference for when I'm riding. I like to be able to feel the turn. I like to be able to feel the acceleration on that bike when I rode it. It just felt like a real smooth, gradual acceleration.
Yeah.
And it like, again, it almost felt like it was on cruise control.
Mm-hmm. It had like four or five modes, though.
Yeah, who knows? It might have been on autopilot, as far as I know.
Who knows? There might have been a cruise control button that we didn't see.
But, you know, in general, it was a fun ride. I enjoyed it. You know, we took tramway, and if you're not familiar with Albuquerque, it's a nice long stretch from the freeway I-25 all the way up to the mountains, and we went up there and turned around and came back. And you can kind of open it up a little bit on that stretch. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of traffic, and it was a great ride. I have zero negative things to say about the ride and the shifting and the sitting position and the balance and all of that. It was an incredible ride. It's not my thing.
Yeah. So what did they start off at again? What did he say?
Yeah, that one I think is 13,000 base.
Okay.
You know, and I think if you add all the bells and whistles to it, obviously you can go all the way up, but you know, to get it to, I think where we were on that bike, it's about 15,000. So, you know, it's not a cheap bike, but you know, it's geared to a market that can afford that bike and wants to ride that across the country. Mm-hmm. And it's ideal for something like that. If I was going to ride to LA or Denver or Texas or something, that'd be the bike I'd want to ride on it.
Oh, definitely. So before we go to the two R9Ts that we tried and we liked, Steve and I got to ride the R9T Racer. Is that what that is?
It's called the R9T Racer Demo. It's the Racer Demo that they have.
So I'm sure everyone's seen this when BMW came out with it. It's the white cafe racer with the white fairing, the clip-ons, the rear sets. Just the epitome of a cafe racer. And I don't know about you, Steve, does your back still hurt? My back is pretty tight.
I knew as soon as I sat on it and leaned forward and I had to stretch about 2.5 miles to get my hands down there, I thought, this is going to be a rough ride, you know. And I'm not a young buck here anymore, you know. I know you guys don't believe that, and I know I look like I'm only like 19, but
exactly.
I'm not a young guy anymore. And it was a little rough on the back and the hips.
You know, and I'm only 30, but I couldn't get down out of the parking lot before my hips pinched, and I had to like stretch and get back on it.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful bike. I love to look at it. Riding it was a blast, but man, I did maybe 10 miles.
Yeah, no, I took it for a good long ride, and it's got some pickup, and it's a fun ride.
Great.
But it's a little. It was too much for me. The position was just not.
Yeah, I think that's where the aesthetics and functionality don't really meet. One was definitely looked at.
We couldn't even get Tyson on it.
No.
You know?
Well, Tyson was done for the day.
Hey, they had barbecue. And then there was barbecue. Yeah,
the barbecue, you just got the adventure bike.
I was set. I think looking at the bike, I mean, it's a pretty looking bike, though.
Oh, it's beautiful.
They have like the white.
It's gorgeous.
With the blue and the red kind of racing stripe. They have that front fairing, almost like I wouldn't say like a half fairing. It's not the full fairing, but it's like a cool kind of racer
fairing.
They got the small kind of cowl on the back. The profile, though, if you look at this bike, and this is starting off at about 11,000, which isn't bad for an R9T.
Really?
But if you look at the profile, the R9T Vintage that we also got to ride, it has more of like a better riding position, I think. Where you sit on this bike, you're kind of, the back end is almost propelling you forward.
Yeah.
Whereas on the racer demo that they gave us, it's almost like a slim line, right? You're riding almost on a
flat line.
Right. And your rear sets are pushing your feet really far back.
Yeah.
So you're almost in a tucked in position on that entire ride, it looked like.
Yeah.
And that's where I could see the comfort level coming.
The name is accurate, right? I mean, it really is a race bike in its positioning, and which for city riding, you know, it's not comfortable.
Not quite.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. I think on the track, that would be a great bike.
Yeah.
You know, on the track, take it out.
It's a great look, though.
It's a great look. And 11,000, I mean, if you want to get into track racing, I think this would be a cool bike. And the other thing, too, I'm being a Triumph guy. I haven't ridden a whole lot of BMWs. But when I got on the first bike that I got onto, which I really liked, I love this bike a lot, it was the R90 demo, which had the 21 yellow racing plate, had the kind of copper brushed metal look to it, the dual pipe, the 2-in-1, had the rear cowl with the elimination on the back. They didn't have clip-ons, right? It was almost it was like a cafe kind of bar.
Not even a cafe bar. That was more of a, maybe like a 1 or 2 inch rise. So it wasn't a drag bar, but it actually came up a little bit.
Little tiny bit of a curve.
Kind of like my Guzzi's bar. It just kind of came up just a little bit.
Yeah. Right.
And those were incredibly comfortable.
That was a really comfortable bike. I mean, I was really impressed with, the cool thing is the side-to-side motor, the mm-hmm. Boxster motor, it felt balanced. And I think, you know, that would be the one thing that I would really like to try with either one of those R9Ts is taking that out to the track and feeling the balance of that motor, because that's something I'm not used to.
Yeah.
So for, you know, our listeners that aren't familiar with BMW, explain to them the Boxster motor, the side-by-side.
Well, they're opposed cylinders, you know, they stick out the side, and if you're not, I mean, I'm sure you've seen them, you know, if you're familiar with motorcycles, you've seen the old BMWs, the motor sticks out on the sides, on both sides, and it seems like it would be weird and unbalanced and uncomfortable, mm-hmm. but it's surprisingly well balanced. And the R9T vintage is what they call it,
right?
Is got the same Boxster motor. It's really, wow, I loved that bike.
Yeah, that bike was, I think all three of us loved it, that thing.
Yeah.
That one had mid sets, whereas the Racer had rear sets.
Right.
Just the combination of those mid sets and those bars, you didn't feel strained. You felt like you could go ride that all day. And it was incredibly comfortable. I really liked it.
I could have ridden it all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was something, if I had money right then and there, I'd probably have taken that thing home.
Well, that thing is starting off right now for sale. It's around $17,000.
And these are the actual demo bikes.
These are the actual demo bikes. So this one's starting off around $17,000. And again, you know, just like the Triumph dealership, when we went to go test ride those bikes, they gave us the three options. And not that I'm a selfish guy, but I had to jump on this one right away.
You didn't give us a chance, dude. You had your helmet on. You were sitting there with it,
idling. My gloves on.
Well, Steve and I were coming back from the truck with our
helmets. It was like calling shotgun. Like, I had to run up to this bike.
Tyson always calls shotgun.
I call shotgun right away. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm a selfish guy.
It's okay, though, because I really wanted Tyson to ride this bike because he's such a Triumph guy.
I am such a Triumph guy.
And he loved this bike, which was shocking to me.
Well, that was the cool thing. It was like, once we got on it, once I got on it, you know, we... Chris was like, okay, you know, these have been tuned, you can kind of open it up a little bit. And we basically took the on-ramp to the freeway, and I looked back and I saw you guys, and I was like, well, should I play it kind of cool and kind of keep up with him and do 60-70? And then something just got in me, and I said, you know what, I'm going to twist the throttle on this thing and see what it has. And before you know it, I hit probably like 110, close to like 110 on the freeway, and I was gone. Yeah. I didn't even see you guys in the rear of your mirror.
You took off, dude.
And I wasn't.
Suddenly we got on there, and you're just, oh, there's Tyson.
But you know what?
I had to push it.
Proud, man.
I had to push this.
I felt like dad. It was like, oh, there goes my boy.
On BMW. I had to see what it had.
Yeah.
And, you know, I gave it full throttle, and I took off, and I didn't even see you guys in the rear view mirror, and I wasn't sure if Chris was going to be, you know, red-faced, pissed off by the time you guys caught back up. But I really wanted to see what this motor had. And honestly, like when I hit that throttle, it got up to 100 in a matter of seconds. Yep. I mean, it was like 3 seconds and I was doing 100, and it still felt like it had ways to go. I think I was at maybe, I wasn't redlining that thing at all.
No,
yeah.
And that's the
top gear. And I probably had at least another 20, 30 miles an hour to go.
Yeah.
And it felt comfortable. It mm-hmm. felt 100, 110, really smooth and comfortable.
Yeah, it didn't have that buzz that some sport bikes have once you start getting up on them, or any bike has, once you hit a certain speed, it's like the motor buzzes almost. This one didn't. It felt like it kept going.
Yeah.
Right. And it felt balanced.
It hugged
the corners really well. I took that corner probably like at 70.
Yeah.
And it just,
and it grippy.
Really hugged it. It gripped it well.
It was incredibly well-handling bike.
Beautiful bike, beautiful aesthetic, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the design's beautiful. What they did over at Sandia BMW to add the extras onto it obviously takes it up several notches, but just a beautiful bike. If I had the money mm-hmm. and I was going to buy a new modern classic vintage styled bike, I'd drop the cash on that right now.
I mean, you know, for myself being a Triumph guy again, the Thruxton is retailing around $15,000. starting off like around 12,000, 13,000 for the 1200 Thruxton. The Thruxton R is about 15. And this R9T vintage is around 16 to 17.
So not that much of a difference,
not
really.
That much of a difference, really. And I think they added a lot onto this bike to kind of give it that look and the performance. So it's a really close toss-up, in my opinion, between this and that Thruxton.
And that's saying something for Tyson.
It is. I mean, you know, I'll always be a diehard Triumph guy, but if I had the money, I think I could put something down on this.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I love it. I loved it. It was shifting through it was smooth like butter. Mm-hmm. You know, the acceleration and pickup on it was so responsive and just, again, the balance of the bike was, it was balanced so well in the curves, you know. I really dug it.
Yeah. And yeah, you would think with that box motor that if you twist through all those the opposing pistons with like kind of bounce the bike around, mm-hmm. or twist it, and it doesn't. They're like on my old Guzzi, you twist that throttle and the bike twists to the right.
Yeah.
But yeah, this BMW, you had no idea it was a boxer.
Well, like Chris said, you know, Chris Bronstorp said that, you know, this same motor since the you know World War II. So you know, they've done a lot
they've honed it
to hone that motor down to a perfectly tuned piece of machinery.
Yeah, and you know, when did they come out with the R9Ts? Did he say 2014?
No, I think it was 15, right?
14, 15.
I think that was the first year that they did.
So they've had about 4 or 5 years to kind of clean it up, and I think they've done a good job. I mean, they've kept it looking, I don't want to say cafe style, but they've kept it in between a cafe and a race bike.
Yeah.
So it looks good. It has a good vintage kind of look to it to a degree. Mono shock in the back end.
Yeah.
You can adjust the front end and the shocks on the front end, and little tiny headlight. I mean, I felt like they kept what they needed to, and they kind of added a few things to make it look really cool too.
Yep, they did it right.
They did.
Thruxton R, right? Awesome. Did mm-hmm. everything right aesthetically on that. And I think this one, of the bikes that we've ridden in the last, you know, month or two, those two bikes are probably the closest to what we consider, you know, modern cafe racers, you know.
Definitely.
And something I noticed between the Thruxton that I rode and then that one is this one had a bunch of little details here and there. I mean, you'd have to look at it, you'd appreciate like how the brushed copper look on some places. Almost everything had some sort of texture to it. That makes sense. Whereas the Triumph, same thing, gorgeous bike. The engine had this beautiful detail to it, but it didn't. Maybe it was just a paint job of just the plain red versus this paint job on this BMW, but the BMW was a lot louder, if that makes sense, when it came to like little things here and there. You just had everything, so much to look at. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Triumph was very just like, this is a Triumph. I know exactly what I'm looking at.
Two different things, though, I think, because this was designed to be vintage, you know what I mean, to give that look and stuff. The Thruxton that we rode was pretty much your base model
Thruxton.
And you know, I think the riding positions and the tanks are completely different too.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
You know, the Thruxton has the indented tank. It seems like it's almost got a little bit longer of a profile.
Yeah.
Whereas the BMW is kind of really snug and compact.
Totally.
And one of the things that I was always thrown off, and I think our listeners should check this out, is look at a R9T, look at some pictures, look at them in person. And I always thought by looking at it that it would be an uncomfortable ride because it is a bigger tank.
Yeah.
And I thought that position would hunch you over and you'd, you know, kind of wreck your back after 30 or 40 minutes. But I thought by riding, you know, the other day when we rode this, it felt comfortable, you know, it really did.
No, it's a really good point because if you look at it, you know, we're looking at a picture of it. It looks like it would be uncomfortable, and it's mm-hmm. not at all.
Not at all.
No. Yeah, even for a smaller guy like me, I felt comfortable on it.
Yeah.
It was really nice.
In contrast to that, we rode the Scrambler setup.
The Scrambler R9T, so I know Tyson doesn't like adventure bikes, but that would be my adventure bike.
No, this is a perfect, I mean, this is
the
a
Scrambler.
Fun bike. Yeah, the
Scrambler
is great. They call this the Urban GS.
Yeah.
So you rode this one first.
I rode that one first. And you know, I really liked it. I didn't open it up like you do with the racer or the vintage, but it was just great to start on. I wasn't a big fan of the bars, but even Chris said those bars, we want to get rid of those bars on that bike. It was just very straight. They were almost like drag bars. But even with the knobby tires, I didn't feel like I was going to lose it at all. And those are some pretty aggressive off-road tires on that bike.
They were.
That thing, it handles incredibly well. It's just the same thing. You just could get on it, the thing would launch. It's an incredibly fun bike to ride around, completely balanced, same as the other R9T. But I think, yeah, if I was going to go for either or, I think I'd almost go for a hybrid of those two. I like the styling of the vintage, but I've always had a thing, I guess, just growing up with dirt bikes for the knobby enduro style tires.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's got a 19-inch front wheel, and they're spoked.
That one had the bigger, but yeah, bigger, it had bigger tires.
And
bigger
it's
tires.
Got an aggressive tire to it.
Mm-hmm. I did notice that the steering wasn't as quick as the
No,
the
definitely not. So I think what they did is the forks on this, it's got more play and more travel because they're doing a scrambler version. So I don't know. For me, like, I think it looks great. It's all black. They have, like, the dirt bike kind of fairings in the front end. Mm-hmm. But I rode this bike second. So I rode the R9T vintage bike first. And when I got on that, and again, it was just so smooth and quick, and it just hugged the road and the curves. And then I moved on to this bike second. It felt loose. Yeah. Like, the bike felt loose to me. The tires were, you know, it just didn't grip the same because, again, they're different tires. It had a different profile. It just didn't feel like it had that tight, quick response that the vintage bike had. And I think, again, like you mentioned, this would be, if I had to do a scrambler, if I wanted to go off-roading, this would be the bike that I would take versus the you know, adventure dual sport bike.
Definitely.
You know, it sits a little bit lower. I felt more comfortable on it. But in comparison to the R9T vintage, it just didn't feel as comfortable for me.
Yeah. And that one, I definitely would have liked to have gone off like a Forest Service fire road or some sort of dirt road to see how it would have handled off-road.
Yeah, I'm curious. I totally agree with your assessment about it feeling loose. I rode the 850 GS first, which was like, you know, being on a BMW car, you know, it felt like just amazing, to the R9T vintage, which was amazing, and shifting was smooth and the power was amazing. And the last one I rode was the Urban GS, and it was obviously different, you know.
Completely.
And it just, I guess maybe because I rode it last, it didn't feel as, I don't know how to even explain it. It didn't feel as, I didn't feel as in control with it. It felt loose, like you said. It just, everything about it seemed a little, even the shifting was not quite as smooth as the vintage. It was different, but I don't know. I kind of have like a neutral feeling about that bike. I don't really have any negative or positive about it.
I think that one was more out of its element. Like I said, I think had we gone down like a dirt road or something like that, it would have been completely different.
Yeah.
Probably would have gripped great, would probably just torn that up. But just being driving around town just like we were doing, it wasn't hopping on the highway.
Yeah.
I don't think that thing was necessarily designed for that.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that bike was out of its element completely. It's almost comparing apples and oranges, right? You're comparing a vintage kind of race bike to a kind of a scrambler bike that's meant to be somewhat off-road. I think in all fairness to this bike, it would have been cool if we could have taken a couple of these off-road, you know, and see how it holds up. It's got that scrambler seat, so it's got the setup and the bars and everything is meant to be almost off-road.
It's cool looking.
It's a great
scrambler setup.
Oh, definitely.
I think this bike would look great flat black, so they have a gloss kind of black tank.
Yeah,
I think you're almost right there. Kind of a brushed nickel kind of side covers and stuff like that. I personally, when it comes to like a scrambler, I want to see it stripped down. I want to see no plastic.
Agreed. Yeah.
You know, I want to see nothing but metal and the bare bones of it.
Yeah, I guess when I think like a modern classic and, you know, vintage styled scramblers, I think about the Triumph that
Steve McQueen?
No, Ernie was riding.
Yeah.
You know,
and that to me like screams like what I would want in a scrambler.
Yeah.
And was that the Bonnie that they had? It was a Bonnie that they had scrambled.
Yeah, the initial one. The new 1200 is the one that he was going to race out in Baja.
Yeah.
And they don't have prices on those yet, so that's kind of hard to compare. But yeah, I mean the Triumph Scrambler has the same aesthetic.
Yeah.
Right. So they've kept the tank the same. They got a new front end. They have the dual upswept pipes. But, I mean, it still looks kind of vintage.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas if we go back to the BMW, you know, it is a scrambler, but it doesn't have that vintage look.
Yeah,
it's got a modern look. You know, the Ram Air.
I think aesthetically, I think I lean toward the Triumph. as far as the scrambler goes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And you know, this is starting off around 14,000. So, you know, I think you can still pick up Triumph Scramblers relatively cheap, around 8 or 9. You know, so there is a little bit of a difference there in price. But again, you know, I haven't seen a whole lot of these GSs, the Urban GS, around. Not a whole lot of guys are riding them around. I think that was maybe the second one I've seen in person.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what kind of modifications and upgrades and stuff like that they can get for these bikes.
Yep, I agree. Well, it was a great day.
It was awesome.
Really enjoyed it. Chris Bronsorp at Sandia BMW, thank you so much. Great guy. Very accommodating to us there, the whole motorcycle department.
Our next podcast, we're going to have Jacob Smith, who's a fabricator and a motorcycle builder, and did a lot of really cool things in LA on some bike build shows. We're going to let him talk about that. He's a pinstriper, lives here in Albuquerque, New Mexico now, and he's doing some great things, and we're excited to have him on the show. So that's a good one that's going to be coming out in about 2 weeks. So we really appreciate you all. Keep coming back and listening to the podcast. We enjoy doing these and look forward to next time, and ride safe.
Down the way, not too far, an old time rockabilly coffee bar, wrecking machine tucked in the back, Elvis singing about a Cadillac. I'm on a BSA, been riding all day, leathers on, goggles too, triumphing, I don't know what you wanna do. My baby's on a Vincent, has been for quite a while, she said it's rocking just her style.
So let's ride,
so let's ride,
so let's ride.
Turn up, I got double cams, American rocker is a matter of fact.